This is Vision for Christ World, Toledo, Ohio, USA. My name is Tim Taylor. If I tell you about a food or drink that you've never tasted before, it would be hard for you to imagine what it tastes like. You have to actually eat or drink it to experience the taste. In the Bible book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 8, it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the person who trusts in Him." The program today is entitled Step Across the Line. There is no way you can know the true peace and joy that results from your heart transformation by the Spirit of God until you actually commit to Jesus Christ, until you step across the line. You must choose to believe in Jesus, or you will never know the full blessings of the Christian life. But as the scriptures say, no one has ever seen, no one has ever heard, no one has even imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. That is found in 1 Corinthians 2:9. While we do have to make an actual choice to believe, at the same time you believe, you will discover God was there all the time, and He had already chosen you. Father God, let me show everyone who you really are and reveal your only Son, Jesus Christ, to those who are listening. Praying in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Some material from GodQuestions.org.
You can find more about us at visionforchristworld.com. Our website works on your internet-enabled mobile phone as well as your computer. You can listen to past, present, and future programs there. Just click on Programs at the top of the page. That website address, visionforchristworld.com. I want to share the song lyrics to a Christian song written in 1977 by American Don Francisco. I took my program title from his song, Step Across the Line. If you gave me half a reason, I would tell you what is true. But no matter how you listen, there is nothing I could do to make you see with more than just your mind until the day you step across the line. No explanation could tell you what I've seen. There is no way to paint a picture that could show you what I mean. When I say I left the man I was behind and found another world across the line. You gotta take a step across the line. Let Jesus fill your heart and mind. I can show you where to look, but you got to seek to find. You gotta take a step across the line. An invitation is the best that I can do to change your future until forever. And the rest is up to you. You can take his hand or keep on going blind. He waits for you to step across the line. Decision theology is the belief that a person must make a decision for Christ, consciously accepting him as Savior in order to be saved. According to decision theology, the new birth occurs when someone hears the gospel, is convicted of the truth of the gospel, understands the need for salvation, and chooses to accept Christ rather than reject Him. Often the decision to accept Christ is marked by an action such as walking an aisle, praying a sinner's prayer, signing a decision card, or something similar. Some are opposed to decision theology because it risks associating a spiritual event with a physical action. Telling someone to make a decision for Christ and to express that decision outwardly fosters the notion that salvation is synonymous with walking an aisle or reciting a prayer instead of being the work of the Holy Spirit. John 3:8 quotes Jesus saying, "The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind but cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you cannot explain how people are born of the Spirit." This false association in turn can lead to false conversions, because someone who walks an aisle after a sermon in church may think he is saved on the basis of an emotional experience, when there has been no work of God in his heart. Also, the detractors of decision theology are quick to point out that nowhere in the Bible are decisions for Christ mentioned, nor is anyone commanded to accept Christ or to ask him into your heart. Further, Scripture says that man in his natural state is incapable of choosing Christ. He is dead in sin, Ephesians 2:1. He cannot please God, Romans 8:8, and he is utterly helpless to come to God on his own, John 6:44-45. There is no one who seeks God, Romans 3:11. An unsaved person is unable to accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, 1 Corinthians 2:14. This being the case, asking a non-Christian to make a decision for Christ is like asking a corpse to dance. Divine intervention is necessary. God saves without any cooperation from us whatsoever, even giving us the faith to believe. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 clearly states, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you cannot take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. The Bible is clear that salvation is totally the work of God. We can do nothing to secure salvation for ourselves. The Lord chooses us, draws us to himself, gives us life, and preserves us. The new birth is not the result of human decision, John 1:13. While the words make a decision for Christ are not used in Scripture, the fact that we are commanded to repent seems to imply an exercise of the will. Mark 1:14 and 15, Jesus went into Galilee where he preached the good news of God. The time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. Those are the words of Jesus. How is one saved? By grace through faith. And even faith is a gift created through the hearing of the Word of God and the good news of the gospel. Romans 10:17 explains, so faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. Salvation does not come by walking an aisle or raising a hand. Saying a prayer does not save anyone. Salvation is making a new spiritual creation, something only the Holy Spirit of God can accomplish. Does this mean that it is wrong for an evangelist to hold an altar call after his message? Not at all. However, we must be careful never to attribute our spiritual peace with God to a physical act of our own. Coming to the front of a church is not the same thing as coming to Christ. Also, we should remember that simply making a decision of some kind is not what saves us. It is the all-powerful sovereign work of God in Christ that saves. Rather than calling on people to invite Jesus to come in, it would perhaps be better to urge them to repent of their sin and cast themselves on the mercy of God in Christ. The first thing that God wants us to do is to accept his offer of salvation. We are hopeless in our sin and cannot be good enough to overcome our sin and enter into his presence. That is why Jesus came into the world, to take the punishment we deserve. In 2 Corinthians 5:21 we read, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. When we put our faith in Christ's death and resurrection, we can fulfill our purpose of knowing and glorifying God. Romans 6:2-6 explains this further. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. God takes on the job of transforming us so that we become more like Jesus. Romans 8:29 describes the choosing of God. It reads, "For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his Son, so that his Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." So the first answer to the question, what does God want me to do? The answer is to receive his Son, Jesus, as Lord and begin the journey of faith. After we are saved, what God wants us to do is to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. When God adopts us into his family, we begin a new relationship with him that affects every aspect of our lives. Rather than making decisions to please ourselves, we make decisions that will please the Lord. See 1 Corinthians 10:31. Faith in Jesus Christ as the Savior is the only step to salvation. The message of the Bible is abundantly clear. We have all sinned against God, Romans 3:23. Because of our sin, we deserve to be eternally separated from God, Romans 6:23. Because of his love for us, God took on human form as Jesus and died in our place, taking upon himself the punishment that we deserve, Romans 5:8, 2 Corinthians 5:21. God promises forgiveness of sins and eternal life in heaven to all who receive, by grace, through faith, Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, let me pray for you. Father God, in the name of your one and only unique Son, Jesus Christ, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to touch the heart and mind of every person listening to me right now. Cause them to desire to have their sins taken away, to pray and ask to be granted repentance that leads to life by God, and to repent of their sins, truly turning away from sin, to have that penalty for sin removed, so that through the faith you give them, they may believe in you, Jesus, and have eternal, never-ending life, starting today, by having personal, saving faith in you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Our vision for Christ broadcast began as a shortwave broadcast from a Florida radio facility to sub-Saharan Africa. This is still our primary audience. We have since expanded to Asia on AM medium wave radio, to Albania, North Macedonia, and Greece, on FM local area radio. Our newest area is transmitting by both digital and analog types of shortwave radio to Australia and Northern Europe. Listen to us online at visionforchristworld.com. Until the next broadcast, this is Tim Taylor praying the great blessings of God with joy and peace upon your life as you embrace Jesus Christ in personal, saving faith. I will leave you today with this text from Matthew 11:25 to 30. At that time, Jesus prayed this prayer, "O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light."